Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Looks like hell froze over.
CM Punk is officially back in WWE.
People are losing their minds.
No way!
If they believe that the demand was there, they're not going to fight the fans.
Drew McIntyre stormed out of the ring at the end of the War Games match. It was obvious to everybody that McIntyre was angry.
I'm not going to waste any more breath on somebody who's done nothing but try and tear this place down.
What's next for CM Punk? That'll be interesting, won't it?
I'm home.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? It's Punkvember Epilogue.
Oh, that was...
I have been thinking for the last week, I say, what is he going to do for the thing?
I've been thinking about it since about 3 minutes ago.
I was going to say, you've not been thinking about that since you returned.
No, not at all. So when we set out on our Punkvember Odyssey, a 15,000-word dissertation written by Cultaholic.com's tribal editor-in-chief, Aidan Gibbons. Say hi, Aidan.
Hello.
We had the idea to go, okay, if there's anything to mop up, at the end, we'll do an epilogue if required. And boy, do we need an epilogue.
Yeah. We need a big mop.
We need a big mop. So Aidan Gibbons is here to mop. And also mopping with us is Cultaholic's very own Fraser Porter.
Good to be here. It's funny you call it an Odyssey because we do call Aidan Homer sometimes because he likes donuts. Homer's Odyssey. You not seen that clip recently?
No.
The game show where he's like,
no.
What famous poet? it's called this the food. And he was like, I know we like the donuts. It's Homer's Odyssey.
Like Greek, Greek writer.
It's like what famous philosopher once described. Well, I know we like the donuts.
There he was, 2000 BC. It's like, get me one of them ring pink ones, lad.
No amount of sausages in brine could keep CM Punk from returning to WWE. Lads, this caught us all off guard, didn't it?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You might have been, well, you weren't asleep, Tom. You never sleep.
I never sleep.
But Fraser was asleep, but I was there working Survivor Series, sat down.
You were in the War Games match.
I was in the War Games match. The tickers come on at the end of the show. I think, here we go. Now I can go to bed soon, drive home. And then it's like, cult of personality fills the arena. We're like, is this real? It's like, oh shit, he's actually there.
He's here.
And there he was. And then I frantically rode for 3 hours and went to sleep at 7 a.m.
It's funny that such a joyous moment, such as CM Punk's return to WWE 9 years, almost 10 years in the making. And the first thought is, ah, shit. Yeah. Right. Got to now do some more work.
I've now got to do basically a full shift, a full night shift. Yeah.
So where were you, Fraser, when you first heard the news?
So I woke up. I was intending to stay up for Survivor Series. I'd been at work that day. I was like, cool, I'm going to stay up anyway and watch it. I was lying on my sofa. I'd got to the Gunther versus Miz match and I was starting to fall asleep. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. Punk's clearly not going to be there. Sean Ross Sapp has tweeted, nothing has changed. WrestleVotes, nothing has changed. All the reports was indicating he wasn't there. Woke up at like 8 a.m. I had notifications, like a ton of notifications. I didn't look at them. I was like, I'm going to watch the rest of Survivor Series just anyway with my morning coffee while I make breakfast. And oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Randy Orton's back.
Yeah.
R-Truth was there too. R-Truth
was there.
Is it crisps or chips? Because it's clearly crisps.
Ruffles.
Yeah.
And this is stupid, this whole chip nonsense. Chips are big chunky boys that you get from the chippy.
Yeah, chips need to be fluffy in the inside.
Yeah. And warm.
And warm, yeah.
You don't have warm crisps. That would be very strange.
That would be weird, wouldn't it? Oh, Doritos. Like, when you have nachos and cheese, they're chips.
Yeah, but they're nachos.
Mm, yeah, you would have Walkers with cheese.
Get the prawn cocktail and get them warm.
Or would you?
No, Tom.
No, Tom, you wouldn't. No, don't start this.
So I was up just a few hours after, maybe an hour after Survivor Series had finished, because I was on Radio Newcastle that morning. And I found out, sat on the loo.
Did you?
Sat on the loo, scrolling through my phone. And, oh, Punk's trending. I wonder if something. Well. Well, there you go. That's a thing. That was it. So I just saw the video and went, oh, that's really strange to see.
Sped through the process and was like, right, time to get to work.
Yeah, I got to go. But I was, you know, it was weird because the two top trends in the UK on that morning was Doctor Who and CM Punk.
Mm. It's strange. David Tennant and CM Punk were both returning, you know.
10 years on.
10 years on, you know.
Yeah.
It's quite weird that it happened on the same night. And both of them look like they've been in a TARDIS and de-aged. Like they've both regenerated. It's crazy.
I'm only sad that one thing I wanted to do, because I've been fighting off a bit of an illness for the last couple of weeks, and I've just not had the energy that I normally have. And I really wanted to, after that Doctor Who episode, I really wanted to do a CM Punk Photoshop of him as the Doctor.
Right.
And just to combine the streams. I thought, I'll do it in the morning. I'll get up and I'll do it in the morning before I go to work. I thought, there's no point now. It's all out there.
Yeah, sorry, it's done.
It's all done. The Time Lord has just spoken. Anyway, we're going to get into the epilogue, which is the story of how that night came to be and how CM Punk's return has gone so far and what we're looking ahead to. So Aidan Gibbons, who is adding to his 15,000-word dissertation of Punkvember, is going to get us started.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what I've written.
You've got a lot.
I know. Another 4 pages.
Which the last episode was 6.
I know.
And we were thinking when we sat down the other day to or messaged each other going, we need another episode.
Epilogue, lads.
It was like, cool, this will be a quick, breezy episode.
And then it was like, essentially I thought, we'll fill in the whole gap between when he was fired by All Elite Wrestling on September 2nd, 2023, all the way up until that fatal return 2 months on at Survivor Series.
Sounds like a plan, sir. Yeah. So we left with Punk, as you say, being terminated with cause.
Yep, there he was in All In with his little Nando's all sad.
As fireworks are going off.
As fireworks are going off, he then gets sacked by Brian Danielson, we found out since.
Yeah.
He led the disciplinary committee. It was him, some lawyer, Chris Peck, I think his name was, and an outside counsel, Brian Danielson, saying while he didn't want to fire him, he had to do the right thing, and he did do the right thing, arguably, in firing CM Punk after more assaulting his colleagues.
It's come to light as well that Brian Danielson, obviously, we always had the idea that his role backstage at AEW was quite a big one. But we also found out when it was revealed that he was the counsel that led to Punk's termination that he also hands out fines to wrestlers as well. He's like a little traffic warden in AEW.
He's the lollipop man.
He's a little lollipop man of AEW.
It's a good role for him.
It's a great role for him. I love the idea. Like, obviously, on Dynamite, just gone, you had Adam Copeland scream at Christian Cage, go fuck yourself.
He's like that.
Punk's back there with a pad, waiting to come back through. That's the paddling.
it's not him handing out monetary fines. It's him like being like, right, on your knees, I'm going to kick you in the chest. Right, that's 100 kicks.
He just shouts fickle at them and slaps them.
Fickle!
Yeah, he just does the curb stomp thing.
Or just
Moxley just is swearing every episode so he can get some more pain.
That's how he got his concussion. It wasn't Ray Phoenix. Danielson just slapping him backstage.
So Bryan Danielson leading up the committee and Punk is out of the door at AEW. That is where we left things in our 6 hour plus journey through his time in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, the first month after his firing, it was all relatively quiet. It was sort of like, what's going to happen? We don't know. We'll wait and see. We found out Punk wasn't going to sue AEW. In that sense, he was going to move on from all of the drama that surrounded him, drama caused by CM Punk, of course. But he was ready to move on. But then, 6th of October, it arrives, one day before my mother's birthday.
As if planned.
As if planned.
Get this done for Mrs. Gibbons. Special day. Things
begin to suddenly pick up in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. It emerges that CM Punk is in talks with WWE over a return. House of Wrestling, Nick Housman, of course, the CM Punk whisperer, some would say. then stated that CM Punk going back to WWE Survivor Series was a, quote, safe bet. And we thought, oh, here we fucking go, boys. But then literally about 3 days later, it was, it's off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not happening. As we covered in the last month's Month in Review, Fightful Select reported that they were not in talks about a return. House of Wrestling then say the two parties were no longer in talks. Dave Meltzer then reports that CM Punk reached out or at least wanted to go back to WWE, but WWE was like, nah, and they rejected him. Dave Meltzer said...
He said, yeah, they turned him down. He wanted to go there and the decision was a no. It can always change and was brought up to me like, look, there's no such thing as no forever, but it's a no for now. This is the decision that was made. It's Vince's decision. Vince, Nick Khan, Paul Levesque. Obviously, they decided the negatives outweigh the positives. Can't argue with that. It could always change, and it was made very clear to me if WWE's business went down, they know it's a card they can play. But it is worth it, and how is it worth it, and how bad is their business going to go down, really? That is what Meltzer said on the matter.
And this was literally the viewpoint at the time, was that Punk essentially was rejected by WWE because the company was hot right now, and they didn't think they needed a big star who needed millions of dollars.
It's fair.
And because everything they were doing was so successful that Punk, and I think we said it in this many words on news videos, Fraser, you and I, in that Punk was pretty much like an in case of emergency break glass option for WWE.
I think that's a fair way to say it. But it's funny, though, that obviously now looking at it, his return has happened. Last week was the first week I've seen anyone tweet out about house show attendance being down compared to the last time they went to that same city.
Yeah, Q4 has been down compared to recent...
It's still incredible numbers that they're getting for house shows, the gates for everything, the attendance is very, very high, more so than it was, let's say, compared to 2019. But it's down compared to, like, all the other quarters of the year. And then 5 days later, break glass in case of emergency, we get Cult of Personality, we get CM Punk back. It feels that maybe they've just gone, well, can't hurt us.
That's true. That's it. So it seems that way. But so by this point, so there was a lot of hullabaloo about Punk coming in, and then all of a sudden, all that sort of all those embers were sort of stamped out as if to go, no, not happening, not happening. But it's something that the WWE may look at down the line.
Yeah, but WWE even had a sort of answer prepared because you've got Fastlane, which is on the 7th of October, my mother's birthday.
Yeah,
did you watch it?
She did not know.
Ah,
but it's all sort of like there and. Literally, like, this press conference is a bit infamous, really, because this is the press conference where we get the Taylor Swift question, which everyone shits on.
It's default.
And this is where we get Yeet, isn't it?
This
is where Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso have had a little celebration drinky poo. They've come out going, Yeet!
It's genuinely the best conference WWE's ever put on, because you did have the backlash to the Taylor Swift question to Io Sky, and then you had also...
Just two blokes with the giggles. I resonated with that so much.
Do you feel him, sir?
Do you feel him?
Do you feel me? Do you feel me?
Do you feel him, sir?
Do you
and
feel
he goes,
him, sir?
Cody, you're going to be on Raw this week. It's like, am I? Who else is going to be there?
There is no greater feeling in the world than being up there, being somewhere with a mate and just laughing so much that it hurts about nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, right when you're in school and you sat next to your mate and something's tickled you both and you're trying to stifle your laugh.
It's the silence. It's the knowing you can't laugh.
It's just in the office sometimes when all we've got is triple jump knocking over. I go, what the fuck are they doing now?
There's a bunch of dickheads just laughing at nothing. Like someone's posted a picture of Mr. Blobby in the chat or something.
What was it? It was like tugboat and communism. We just thought, yeah, we'll go with that or something.
I love the inside baseball stuff that people get from these podcasts. It's a little tribute to anybody who listens extensively to the podcast feed. And judging by people's Spotify's Wrapped 2023, lots of you do. So thank you. They get a little bit of more inside baseball on the company than they do ever on the podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
I think we've given a lot of details about stuff that goes on in Slack group chats and stuff. Yeah.
It's almost like they're all very sensible. We just don't care.
Yeah, we're not bothered. We're like the naughty
boys. We're like CM Punk. We're like bombs. All over the place.
The dab for the Patreons. Aidan Gibbons just gave us a dab.
5 years after they were relevant.
Yeah,
I dab every time I sneeze now. I just now they're irrelevant. Now I want to do them.
Now it's you. Keep them alive.
I can just imagine you at a really inappropriate place. Funeral.
Ashes to ashes. Dust to dust.
Like really sad moments.
And now we pay tribute to Margaret.
Really, really intimate moments that you're. Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, love. You've been. How do you plead to the court? Every time.
Every single
time. Every time.
But that press conference was great.
Triple H comes out and just answers nothing, but he did have a CM Punk answer prepared, which was...
Oh, he did. He said then that there's no remaining ill will between the two sides and the possibility is always there, but that Punk wasn't signed and the negotiations weren't ongoing and that he wasn't planned for the show as of then and that fans shouldn't buy tickets with the expectation of seeing him. That was courtesy of Fightful Select.
And that was Survivor Series, the show in question.
Yeah. Now, it didn't mean that there was nobody who wanted CM Punk to come and play in their house.
Yeah, so essentially outside of AEW and WWE, CM Punk was a proverbial bell of the ball. One company in particular were really keen to sign him, and that was TNA Impact Wrestling.
My boys.
Tom's employers.
My employers.
CM Punk was almost your colleague.
Yeah.
Oh, nearly.
Or could have been your colleague.
We're working on it. Yeah. I say we. Me and Scott, we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Get him on the old blower.
I don't care, I'm on the payroll now. I don't
like,
care.
All right, Big D.
Big D.
they did actually reach out to him. It was made clear they were interested. Of course, Punk by this point had already been backstage at a show in May, June time, whenever it was, Spring Slugfest. He was invited to Bound for Glory. TNA made a big money offer to appear at Bound for Glory, which is October 21st. CM Punk, like as we've discussed at the end of month review, is that CM Punk didn't outright... Well, he did reject it, but he was just like, that's nice. I'm not going to accept the offer. But he didn't like go. He didn't like immediately shut it down. Yeah. He didn't just toss it out of hand. He sort of went, that's nice. We get on quite well. I'm not going to accept it at this juncture. But what we do...
It's like being friend-zoned.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I think TNA got friend-zoned by CM Punk.
Kind of, with a... maybe.
I don't think there was a maybe. I think it was just, that's really kind.
But it was like,
it
was
good.
His break glass in case of an emergency,
it
right?
It was go to TNA, yeah.
It's his break glass.
WWE went, absolutely fucking not. Mm. Oh, I hate TNA. You look good.
So I haven't got a date for prom.
But then it was sort of what we find out in November as well, is that TNA actually felt they were very close to bagging Punk. But then ultimately, as the sort of rumblings around WWE grew, TNA sort of went, well, we can't compete with the money-wise. Mm. But they were willing to basically make him like the company's one of the company's top earners, throw a whole bag of money at him. But it just didn't come together. Maybe in another universe, CM Punk is in TNA.
In another lifetime,
Multiverse of Madness, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Punk somewhere. He's still in AEW somewhere.
There was a Multiverse of Madness where TNA is headlined by CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
In 2003.
And I just want to be in that world.
But this is basically where we left October, though, was that WWE are like, nah. TNA is like, please.
AEW's like,
AEW's like, no. And that was basically it. But CM Punk himself said at the end of October about potentially appearing at Survivor Series.
He said, they're asking if I'm going to be there. I think it's sold out. I think tickets are hard to get. He said, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. I'm kind of just staying at home enjoying this beautiful Chicago weather.
It was very sunny at the time.
Yeah. I have an injury in the family. My dog, Larry, blew... My dog... Blew his dog.
His dog ACL.
His dog ACL.
That's not a typo.
It's not a typo. I've not read that quote before. My dog Larry blew his dog ACL. I'm literally just spending my time with them. I know that sounds crazy, but he is my son and I take care of him and treat him as such. Him. Everything has kind of stopped. I'm fortunate to take time off from everything. I've cancelled things that I have coming up. Traveling is hard. It's tough to leave him here with my wife, April, AJ Lee. If there are two of us here taking care of him, it's easier.
I thought if you learned anything from Jeremy Vine this week, Fraser, you'd have read.
You'd have read ahead. Yeah. She's lost an arm. I don't know why I laughed at that one.
Incredible, Zeba. Oh, there's a story here about they're on a boat and, his little brother accidentally presses the accelerator and his mum lost her arm.
That whole story that Jeremy Vine was telling reminds me of your granddad losing her. he's standing near a plane. Oh, he's lost his arm.
Maybe I'll send it in next week on Radio 2, catch him out.
Every week we should just send in a story of somebody losing their arm to Jeremy Vine.
He was watching planes and he was waving at the driver.
Could you please stop sending in messages of people who have lost an arm? It's weird.
So, foot loss is okay.
Foot loss is fine. Jeremy Vine on Radio 2.
Yeah. Great. Accidental partridge.
Complete partridge.
No accidental partridge for CM Punk when he mentions his dog ACL. No.
Dog ACL.
There is legitimately a dog ACL.
His doggy ACL.
I believe he did it trying to do a dog pedigree on another dog on the table. Yeah. And the dog turned it into a dog Walls of Jericho. But he muscled out and finished the dog match.
That's what it'll be the weeks before Royal Rumble. He'll get his little denim dog jacket on.
And muscly beyond belief.
Yeah. He's taken so many PEDs by the time it comes around.
That dog has had far too many snacky snacks.
Perk Larry.
Woof!
It's the fucking topes off the stage. Brings down the straps. Oh.
Look at Larry just giving it absolute biff as the Atkins would say.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
Larry.
We do have some fun. Yeah,
we
do.
We have a laugh, don't we? Anyway,
so that was October.
Into November we go with all these offers. You know, CM Punk is the belle of the ball, but here's the thing: the one ball that he wants to go to, he's not been invited to.
No.
It seems.
But there was a brief speculation about a second Womble.
A Womble?
A Womble. Well, yes,
that's a Womble.
Don't know why we've got enough Wombles, but there we are.
Remember, you're a Womble. Yeah.
But you do love the Womble.
I do love the Womble.
A slight tangent. Every time I'm in London, I've got to look out for the Wombles because Aidan...
What's because you go to Wimbledon a lot?
Yeah, and you like the Wombles.
And that's where they live.
Yeah. Well, do they?
Yep. Underground, overground, and Wombling free.
Yeah. We wish you a Wombling Merry Christmas. Anyway, CM Punk and the Wombles.
So the one ball he's not invited to is WWE, still by the start of November. But a wild return to AEW at this point had been teased. Punk himself was having a little bit of fun on social media, like, am I the devil? Of course, at the time of recording, MJF is being stalked and terrorised by a devil on AEW TV, which might be revealed next week, I don't know.
Maybe. It could be revealed by the time this...
By the time anyone listens to this.
It could have appeared on Collision. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough. But the devil chatter in question, I think I remember CM Punk sharing a photo of Ric Flair as the Black Scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was an infamously awful angle that WCW shot, in which Sting had no opponents to face him. So they created one called the Black Scorpion that was voiced by Ole Anderson and just did weird magic tricks like making a tiger disappear and severing a fan's head using the old magic trick of like the two boxes.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. I think that's what happened. Or that, did he turn a fan into a tiger? Something to do with
a tiger.
There was a tiger involved. Okay. But as the time approached, I think it was Clash of the Champions where Sting was going to face the Black Scorpion. They went, we've got no one to be the Black Scorpion. We haven't gotten out for this. So it ended up putting Ric Flair under the Black Scorpion mask. And you have this weird match between Flair and Sting. But Flair is trying not to wrestle like Flair. And it's almost, and you watch the match, it's fascinating because he's fighting his muscle memory all the time. There's one point where he goes to do the arm slaps and he stops himself and brings his hands back to his side. Like he's fighting all the Ric Flair-isms and all the muscle memory. And it's just an awful match.
So what AEW needs to do for this devil thing is constantly tease that it's CM Punk on the screen.
I'd really ramp it up.
In GTS, yeah, like, coming like
do absolutely everything.
There's part of me that would,
and then Jack Perry.
Just lean into it. And then when Jack Perry turns up, it's like, well done.
Yeah.
You did what you could.
Yeah.
So he's kind of riling up these rumors. I think Punk's enjoying being like so heavily talked about in the industry.
Yeah, and
he's
not positive gonna, like, as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? If there's rumours like that around about you, you're not going to shut them down immediately, are you?
And CM Punk has, but it did turn out that CM Punk was just having a lovely bit of fun and that, shockingly, there were no plans to go back to AEW 2 months on from him nearly fighting the boss.
Yeah. No, weird that, innit?
Yeah. But we're sort of in a little bit of a holding phase, but we do suddenly get a wild claim for a better wrestling experience. They claim that CM Punk was scheduled for a call with the WWE board, which no longer exists, of course, following the TKO-UFC merger thing. But this was quickly shot down, though, by another one of the CM Punk whisperers, an Ebu of Wrestle Purists. He tweeted,
"I really hate to burst people's bubbles, but I reached out to sources that would know on CM Punk's side, and they deny that this situation has taken place. As of today, CM Punk returning to WWE Survivor Series specifically is not set to happen."
That hasn't stopped WWE from not directly teasing, but there's certainly been, Shinsuke Nakamura has been a very teasy boy throughout November. Mm. I mean, what he hits a GTS at first, everyone goes, okay. Everyone on social media keeps looking around, sort of making things that probably aren't actually there. Yeah. But Nakamura's like, "You're close. I see you. Ooh. Come on, Big Daddy." And then,
and it turned out to be Big Daddy. easy.
But essentially,
I told you it was Big Daddy. Why are you upset? I said it was Big Daddy.
but he's teasing it all the time. And essentially, it's a load of bollocks that this is meant for CM Punk, we find out. Because Fightful Select are later told by WWE sources.
Whether it be Nakamura, USA Network Twitter account, or anyone that said he's coming back prior to last week. No, I'm reading the wrong bit, am I?
That's the right bit.
Coming back prior to last week, none of them knew because Punk didn't know.
Yeah, so this report comes out after Survivor Series, but basically all the teasers leading up to it, until the week beforehand, were essentially just that teasers that weren't done with the knowledge that CM Punk was coming back. They were just people having a good time.
And it's a mixed bag because you've got guys like Grayson Waller as well. I seem to remember on Instagram was having some fun. I think he did that. "I'm the best in this ring, on this microphone, even on commentary."
Yeah. He also held up to a injured jaw, a can of Pepsi and stuff like that. Mm. And Corey Graves was doing a lot of teases as well. Doing the whole like best in the world. And it was a bit too on the nose, really, quite a few of them. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we were seeing all this, but then the reports from very, very, very much verified people who would know if these things were happening were all going, "It's not happening." So we're in a weird situation because all the people that would normally kind of have a little inkling as to what was happening were being told, "Nope, nothing like that." But then all the guys in WWE are going, "Lol, CM Punk." It was on the nose, but then we kind of brushed it off as just the wrestlers having a bit of fun.
Have a bit of fun, yeah.
Yeah, because since Vince has been moved away from that, like it's still a very much more relaxed environment. So you can be a bit more silly with it.
It was like, you know how you sometimes have stuff on your mug?
Yeah.
It's like that equivalent of them in WWE being like, you know, like, "Here's something for you.
Little treat for you if you're paying attention." Yeah. Little nudge and a wink.
But like, if you had like, I don't know, random insert old known celebrity here.
Yeah.
On your mug.
R.I.P. Jimmy Corkill on there.
Yeah, like, and he's not coming to Cultaholic.
Well, no, I'd be surprised because he died this morning.
There you go.
did he actually?
Just when we came downstairs, they announced that Jimmy Corkill from Brookside has died.
Henry Kissinger died as well.
Yeah, it's been quite 100. Henry Kissinger.
100, yeah.
What?
Should have died much earlier.
Yeah. What, did you have a bet on?
He was just a horrible little arsehole, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's a shame that somebody so horrible was called Kissinger.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's my hot take on the death of Henry Kissinger, which is why you're all here. But RIP Jimmy Corkill as well.
Yeah. Richard Nixon, the ghost of Richard Nixon, is tuning out right now.
Well, that's all I wanted to do. Right. Anyway, Punk.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not so Shinsuke Nakamura saying, "Come on then, Big Daddy, you're nearly here." Yeah. It's not Punk.
No.
It's not Punk
it's
at all.
It's not Big Daddy either. I think it's Cody Rhodes, wasn't it?
Yeah. He ended up being Cody Rhodes.
It's Cody Rhodes.
It went right, okay.
There was a school of thought, some people thought it might be Okada.
Well, yeah, because we've got the rumours right now, sort of that WWE are interested in Kazuchika Okada, but his contract's not up till the end of January.
But also, there was a lot of reports being like, nobody knows who Nakamura's gonna be facing.
It's
like,
very close to the chest. Yeah.
It was kept hidden, it was kept secret. People, well, I think the latest report we had was it's gonna be someone new and possibly someone from Japan.
Yeah.
And Cody Rhodes has wrestled in Japan, but he's not that new
from Bullet Club.
But as we'll get to as well, WWE obviously would get very good at this keeping secret stuff.
Yeah. Mm. And it's good. And do you know what? Just to jump on it, like then I think Cody being revealed as the guy that Nakamura was coming for, I'm not mad. That's a fresh match.
Yeah.
And it's something, and this is kind of like, we're entering, so even though Punk's back, this is very historically the sort of the dead zone for wrestling news,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So why not give us a fresh set of matches between now and the Rumble between Cody and Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah.
They could give them some time. They'll have some bangers.
Christmas Day Raw.
Yeah, give us Shinsuke and Cody for an hour.
Bloody hell, is Raw Christmas Day this year? I think it is, you know.
I think it
might
Let's
have
be.
A look.
Oh, I imagine it won't be a real
calendar. Calendar,
it'll be 10 weeks in advance, won't it?
I mean, obviously there was a point where they did do a live Christmas Day Raw. 25th. Do you remember?
25th, but they'll tape it in advance. But it might be like could be the Thunderdome one where I think you had like a banger SmackDown where you had Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens for the Universal Title. I think it was Sami Zayn versus.
Yeah, Big E won the IC title off Sami Zayn,
and you had Danielson versus Jey Uso.
I was on that one.
Yeah, at the Thunderdome.
I was in the Thunderdome, me and Barry the Shark were in the Thunderdome.
Oh, that's
didn't he get banned? Or was that Adam?
Adam got banned.
Adam got banned. I'm just having a look at the tour
dates. He was doing
the Spunky Cock Dance the thing is, and the Thunderdome experience was incredible because basically you were told, right, you know, do lots of thumbs up and thumbs down and all this, be very animated. And they would watch all the cameras to see who was really getting into it, playing ball. And if you were playing ball, they'd move you further down the front. And that's when you could do your spunky cock dances. you lulled them into a false sense of security and then went...
It's either going to be Christmas Day this year, by the way. It's either going to be a best-of show or they'll tape it on the 18th.
Okay.
Good. So. They get Christmas Day off the wrestlers this year. That's nice.
But they're working Boxing Day.
That's fine.
And Christmas Eve.
That's what footballers wear Boxing
Day. Oh, they?
I think so.
Christ.
Date on, cause it's,
I know they did the Madison Square Garden show on Boxing
it's
Day.
It's Sunday Stunner. That's their Sunday show.
Right.
Okay, so...
We reached November 22nd.
November 22nd. So the 2 weeks in between, we've got the Okada news, we've got other stuff going on. Punk's a little bit quiet at this point, not much tickling along.
We are being distracted by the Okada news and by the news of Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, very much so.
It's and to the point where we're hearing that in the run-up to the Raw, the go-home for Survivor Series, there was a lot to talk about Randy Orton coming back for Survivor Series, and they said they're going to make it very clear that Randy Orton's going to be there to stop people thinking that CM Punk would be there because they were going to do a mystery partner thing for Cody's team. And on the Raw beforehand, they made it very clear that it was Randy Orton.
He's literally announced as well. They just go, right, it's going to be Orton.
Yeah.
And I've got a legacy with this man.
Yeah, he does all the tease and then WWE is like, yeah, it's Randy Orton.
You may as well be prey because we've got the apex predator.
I guess you could say we've eaten Uda and he's in our stomachs. Simpsons gag.
but that's basically where we leave it off, though. It's right, it's not CM Punk, everybody. He's not the partner.
Yeah.
We're going to make it very clear that it's not CM Punk.
So don't buy a ticket because you're not seeing CM Punk.
You're not seeing CM Punk. By this point, the show's probably sold out.
It's sold out,
anyway.
By this point. And again, and that was another reason why we went, well, they won't be Punk because the venue sold out. Yeah, like, they wouldn't need, if the ticket sales were slow, you could probably tease maybe a CM Punk, but they don't need to. Because even if Punk didn't turn up, like, they've still sold out the venue and they've not promised CM Punk. So there's no harm if he doesn't come out. We've only disappointed ourselves, really.
I'm just like, dear, if you go in, you're going Simpsons gag there.
Yeah.
If you didn't actually make a reference to Simpsons and just went, like, and they tease this, Simpsons gag.
Insert Simpsons gag here.
I don't even need to make a reference.
There's bound Simpsons to be one.
Yeah.
Simpsons gag. Reference. Simpsons reference.
But as of Wednesday, November 22nd, what we do have is that it's still the same. It's not as of right now for a Punk return. Mm-hmm. Of course, what we'll get to later, this isn't true, but these are what the reports were saying in the Built as a Virus series. We then start getting a little tickle as the show gets a little bit closer. Things continue to build. On social media, a very firm minority is not believing that Punk... is refusing to believe that Punk will not be there at Survivor Series, that they're all clinging on. We're looking at this point going, okay. But there was a glimmer of hope on the Friday before Survivor Series. Dave Meltzer reports in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that WWE are hoping to bring CM Punk back if the fans demanded it. Simply because in the past, Vince McMahon, of course, can be very combative against what the fans have wanted.
I know what the people want better than they do.
Stubborn man.
Yeah, but apparently WWE will not do this anymore. They're not looking to be compatible with fans, and if the fans want something, they'll give it to them.
Which is a really nice sign, because, I mean, we've seen it with LA Knight. He's had a rise up the card. As much as did want him to win Money in the Bank, he did end up doing something probably better, going for Roman Reigns at the title. The fact that they've listened and they've brought in this guy, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe we can trust them a bit more.
How funny is it that you wouldn't get this in other mediums where they go, well, all the fans are clamoring for this thing and the company is now giving it to them, because for 15 years, if the fans really want something, they've vehemently denied them having it. Not for any other reason other than just to be arseholes.
Just spite, basically.
Spite, and the idea that Vince McMahon knows what the people want more than they know what they want. Yeah. Like, they do want Roman Reigns. No, you do want Roman Reigns as a babyface. You do.
I wish they'd done Punk's return like in Dallas, where someone wakes up and he's just in the shower. It's like, oh, the past 9 years were all a dream. Just get reset back to 2014.
That'd be amazing. Triple H back in action.
Yeah, in the Rumble, Batista doesn't win. Then it's the alternate timeline, and we get Stone Cold Steve Austin versus CM Punk at WrestleMania 38.
Until Loki turns up and prunes them.
Yeah, exactly.
But what we get on the Friday night, we've got that Meltzer report, but Five Will Select, they state, WWE's claim is that CM Punk won't be there. Punk's claim to friends is that he won't be. That's what we get Friday night. So we're like, okay, the claims are that he won't be there. Then literally in the mere hour before Survivor Series, I've came into the office, we're all getting ready, I've got your McDonald's, here we go. I'm thinking, okay, I'll do this article. So WrestleVotes have said that nothing has changed regarding CM Punk's Survivor Series. This is the hour before the show. We put out the article. We're like, there we are.
It's not happening.
That's CM Punk. It's not happening. Forbes literally even put out an article that's clearly pre-written.
Yes.
Saying that CM Punk did not return at Survivor Series.
Still up.
Yeah, it's still there. This is the whole Dewey beats Truman thing from 1948.
The silly buggers nature continued like first thing on that Saturday morning, because there were numerous fans citing CM Punk. But of course, you're in Chicago, so of course he's going to be in Chicago. A few people went, since CM Punk today, he's there. And I'm like, well, yeah, he lives in Chicago.
It's interesting though, someone did post on Reddit that morning and was like, I've just bumped into CM Punk. I've asked him if he's going to be at Survivor Series. And he went, no, I'm doing something tonight. I'm busy. And he was like, well, he seemed in a jovial manner, and that could be him at Survivor Series. Mm. And the whole replies on Reddit were like, you're a fucking idiot. No way he's coming back. No, that's not happening. Why? Of course he's busy. Like, he's doing something else. That guy... If Punk did actually hint to him, oh, I'm going to be at Survivor Series tonight, this one guy must be feeling very happy with
himself. My God, so much so. And also, on the morning of the Survivor Series show, Living Colour uploaded a remastered version of Cult of Personality.
Yeah.
Which set everybody off again. Like, whoa, why are you doing that today? And a few people asked me, like, oh, is that a sign? And in my head, I went, well, no, because... they're capitalizing on the buzz around what might happen. So, of course, today is the day. So I'd reasoned in my head, well, that's the day you do it because, you know, everyone's going to be talking about CM Punk. Why not stick your song out so everybody can hear it?
Yeah.
Makes sense. If I was, even if Punk wasn't coming back at Survivor Series, if I was in Living Colour, I'd go, that's the day we release the new version.
Right.
And what we find out as well is that Key Names and Creative, they've been told Punk won't be in Survivor Series by likes of Triple H and all that duty higher-ups. And top talents have been told CM Punk will not be a Survivor Series. So firmly heading into Survivor Series, the idea is that CM Punk will not be there. We'll get the Randy Orton return, we'll have some lovely war games, and then we'll go home and go to bed.
And Raw has been planned for the following night already.
Raw's been written.
Raw's been written, ready to go, based on the events that people are aware of on Survivor Series 9.
Yeah. And it's just strange that, like, at what point did it change from a he's not going to be there to yeah, he's here? Like, we know, as we'll get into, like, how it transpired, but it's crazy that even as the show was starting, an hour in at the show, everything was
it's not happening.
It's not happening.
And then, I mean, the slightest inkling we get is War Games is finished. Survivor Series is ready to go off the air. And suddenly, Sean Ross Sapp tweets going, my stance has changed. A backstage...
he was suddenly doing this. He was suddenly back cocks to the left. and then he was dabbing. I stabbed the stage.
He just stands up. does the peacock, does the Squidward dance, leaves. and then that's what it was. And then we hear that a backstage area has been cleaned. We're all like, surely not.
Mm.
And then there we are. Smackdown. Survivor Series is coming to an end. I'm ready to go to bed, as previously mentioned. And then,
ambulance turns up.
The pop was thunderous.
Oh my God, it was incredible.
And it's strange because it got even louder when he actually walked out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Like,
they were like, oh fuck, he's actually here.
It's not Grayson Waller coming out to take the piss.
It's not Paul Heyman being like, hey.
Imagine if it had been. Oh my God.
I feel like Chicago would have killed someone.
Yeah. I think somebody would have died.
Like, that would have been absolutely crazy if they'd done that at the end of the show and he wasn't there.
Mm. It's Bret Hart, everybody.
Hello. There was at one point before that walkout that I'd seen some things popping up on Twitter. I don't know how true they were. That when there was a spot in the War Games match where Cody's team had been completely laid out and Randy Orton hadn't materialized.
Yes.
Right.
And there was CM Punk chance. that Kevin Dunn had attempted to mute.
There was throughout the show. There was some before the show. There was one during a match when they were getting a little bit bored, so they started some CM Punk chants. And then this was the big one. They tried to mute it down. You're thinking, okay. But
was that maybe a misdirect?
Maybe.
You think, of being like, we don't want it coming across on TV just yet.
Yeah, it's like we don't want to. Yeah, I think it's almost like if you let those chants go without somehow dulling them,
it keeps a surprise. Like if we hear, oh, they're muting the chants, clearly they're wanting to avoid CM Punk.
Yeah,
topic. So even right at the last minute, I think this is the big. You know, like we all, oh, they're muting this. Clearly, they don't want that on TV. Oh, CM Punk's not going to be there because they've muted the chants.
What I loved was the fact that when that happened and that second one came around where they were muting it and then Randy Orton's music hits, like that pop is still phenomenal as well. That's still a monstrous pop for Randy Orton. And I want to give some love very quickly. I know it's a CM Punk podcast, but some love to Randy Orton. That return was fantastic. He came out, he looked like he was loving life. He was walking down the ring with like a lot of energy. He looks fucking massive.
He looks like his character model on WWE All-Stars.
Oh my God, he does, doesn't he?
He is a, how we say, big boy.
He's a big boy.
He's always been very tall, but now he looks hench.
But he was I love walking down the ring and he was pointing at each of the judges and going, okay, I'll have you.
Yeah.
And just a ball of fire from the moment he got in, looked great, looked like he was having fun. And I was just, and if that had been the big finish, then that would have been fine. But then, of course, as we're saying,
as we get
out comes the ambulance.
Yeah. So out comes the ambulance. CM Punk that appears, white t-shirt, new haircut. Like, and this time, I mean, he doesn't do a lot. He comes out, he lets out a werewolf howl for some reason.
Oh!
We're like, right, so there you are. that is you indeed, Phil.
Yep.
And then he celebrates with the crowd. Some man's desperate to get on camera. This bloke's like,
I loved that bit because Punk goes, whose city is this? Chicago! Chicago! Chicago!
Now, whose city, dickhead?
That guy knew, like, he knew the assignment. He was there. Right, I'm going to hype Phil up. Because he was more hyped than Phil was to me.
He was literally that. What band is it when it comes across? Oh my God, you've won, dude. How excited. Are you excited as I am? I was like, clearly not.
Clearly not now. Punk knew that this guy was giving him all the energy that he needed. But it's funny because we only see on the show, we see Punk walk out. We see him get hugged. You know, go, you know.
He howls.
Hypes howl. The crowd a little bit.
As we go off air, he's howling. But then, like, there's photos that emerge after where he sits down cross-legged on the ramp and gets in with some more fans and stuff. So he does a little bit more after the fact.
Has a wave to Randy Orton.
Oh, yes, of course. He does Randy Orton's pose.
Yeah. Which can we just address for a second? Randy Orton's pose used to be, like, wide arms. He's now since got right angles.
He's 43.
Do you think it's the arthritis? Because he's now like that
He's muscular, more muscular now than he used to be. So he's probably, like... Yeah. Gun show at the same time.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
he's doing a Scott Steiner cross of his original friend.
So Punk does the Orton pose and then waves, and Randy Orton sat on a chair in the ring and waves
going,
back.
Going like that with this. Yeah. He's like, oh, how long?
Oh, like, you aren't you old silly buggers. Huh?
Yeah.
And we'll get to what else happens while he's out soon. But literally in Cultaholic Office, it was that meme where you sat that relaxing, and then it was like, sit forward or hands on deck.
Yeah.
And then it was just... Here we fucking go, basically.
Here we fucking go. Andrew and Adam were live reacting to it on the live stream on the YouTube channel, and I am over the fucking moon that on Raw the following night, we get Andrew Hodkinson for the world to hear going, no way! The most Yorkshire reaction to CM Punk in history.
His reaction was great.
I showed the reaction to Alex, and Alex loved my wife to be. She loved it. And then I showed her Raw the following night, and she was like, oh, that's amazing. Like, that's great.
It was really
like,
cool.
Andrew, worldwide, no way! Great.
I was thinking, though, WWE's stolen our footage. We need to get that copyright claim in right now.
Yeah, I've already put that in.
Yeah, where's the credit?
Let's get them shut down.
Yeah.
They should be making money off us. It should be the other way around. Thank you very much.
But it was a lovely moment for Andrew.
Oh, I'm over the moon. Oh, so happy for him. What a boy. What a boy.
And then in terms of the report, it immediately comes up. We find out by the time I go to sleep at 7 o'clock, we know a great deal. We know pretty much 90% of how CM Punk's return came together. And the reason why all our reports were wrong for weeks is essentially because it's a closely guarded and quickly put together secret. Mm-hmm. Talks between CM Punk and Triple H took place on the 19th of November, which is what? The Sunday before Survivor Series?
I believe you're right. 19th, Sunday before, six days beforehand. Survivor Series.
They have cleared the air talks, they mend fences. They were out there fixing gates, who knows?
Still a bunch of DIY, basically.
But this is kept a closely guarded secret. The only people who really know is Nick Khan, WWE president, and Triple H, WWE chief content officer. Vince McMahon himself, not involved.
Because Vince doesn't want him back.
Yeah.
Vince made up. There was an opportunity to bring him back pre-pandemic, and Vince went no.
Even with Fox paying the bill.
Yeah, Fox said, we'll back it, and he went no. Don't want him on.
Even 2022.
Yeah.
There was another one that came about, and again, Vince went, no, don't want him back.
Which is crazy, because you've seen the response to it. It seems largely positive, right?
Vince says...
Like, as we'll get to.
Yeah. You don't Higher know what you want. Knows.
Yeah,
I know what you want.
Yeah,
clearly you do, mate. Clearly you do.
But what we get, though, so they have to clear the air talks, but nothing is definitively locked in until literally... late afternoon on the 25th of November, so like hours before Survivor Series, because Sean Rossab said he asked Saturday morning and the contract still had not been signed.
Mm.
So it all comes together late afternoon. And but even like when it's happening at Survivor Series, producers, referees, staff, talent, head writers were not told about Punk's return. Triple H, Bruce Pritchard and Michael Hayes, the producer, they have a meeting to discuss a change to the main event, but there's no hints as to what it is. The talents who are in the main event are also informed just before the main event even, that CM Punk will be returning. That's about as far as this goes.
They literally just, yeah, as they're planning their match, they're calling to a private meeting and they go, right, Punk's coming out at the end of your match.
Yeah. Essentially, like,
that's basically crazy. that's as close knit, and it's that's as close knit as it is, isn't it? Like, only certain parties, and then as we've heard, the backstage area gets cleared out just as the match is ending, and I believe it's Triple H that calls.
Triple H produces the end of the show.
He produces the end of the show, so he clears out whoever's sat at Gorilla, and he sits there and goes, right, cue the music, walk, go now. Like,
imagine you're the
cameraman, do this.
Sound technician, right? And you're like, what the fuck's going on? The whole area is getting cleared out, and then Triple H comes over and goes, can you CM Punk's music? Like, what the fuck? Like,
and then Phil's like, hello.
Yeah, get like, his music ready. Like, get his man a shield.
Like, how quick did they have to turn that music around and get the Titantrons and everything going?
I wonder whether they just had it saved already as like something completely there, different. Yeah. Could you load Survivor Series 03.wav and Survivor Series 03.mp4?
Look, I've seen a lot of people talking about the Titantron being like, oh my god, they had a new one ready for him that references all his different eras in WWE. It's the same fucking one. It's,
well, the same, 2014.
It's the same one. Yeah. They were all those logos were already in there before, because I saw people being like, oh my god, WWE's put a lot of thought into this. They've got he's got the cross fists from his, you know, his last run.
They've got that he's always had.
They've got the lightning bolt to reference his Nexus time. They've got the prayer hands from the Straight Edge Society. They've always been in there.
No, it's the same one that he used before.
It's the same one. So people are talking shit.
Because again, like, had they asked for CM Punk video to be commissioned, that's another person you're letting in on the inner circle.
Yeah. It was, though, Living Colors re-release.
It was the remaster that they did use.
So that is maybe shows that it was a very, can you load up Spotify? Have we still got the rights?
God, imagine if they'd done it through Spotify and you go, go subscribe now to Spotify Premium for ad-free listening. No! Yeah,
over the tannoy. Bluetooth. There's nothing quite.
Have you coming been soon to Sky Atlantic? No!
Are you in there with an opponent who's stiff? You'll need Bluetooth. Punk's walking out like, yeah.
It's like
raging hard erection.
It was the time when, I think it was AAA, when they had Jeff Jarrett come out as a surprise, and they lifted his music from the Impact Wrestling YouTube channel.
Did they?
So it started off with like, Jarrett. Impact Wrestling Thursdays on Spike, ding ding, and then it went into his music.
Well, then it goes, doo doo.
But they lift it just straight off the YouTube. It's so funny.
Who did that WWE?
No, it was AAA, I think.
Okay, right.
No, of course.
Yeah, of course it was. AAA. That makes perfect
sense. He
can't
act until he hears his music. The people know that when they hear, this is Jeff Jarrett.
Play my fucking music.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If our fans want it, if the WWE Universe is excited to have it, then let's go. And we'll figure out the rest of it from there. This came together super quick, which I'm sure is why it stayed very tight. You know, there's a lot of speculation at that point. It was nothing but speculation. For most of the time, it was speculation. It didn't really start to come to fruition until everybody stopped thinking it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, it was happening. Extremely excited, you know, a lot of time has gone by, almost 10 years, right? And if you are the same person you were 10 years ago, 10 years later, you've messed up. Everybody grows. Everybody changes. And I'm a different person. He's a different person. This is a different company. And we're all on the same even starting ground. So what's next for CM Punk? That'll be interesting, won't it? Yeah, I'm interested to see that myself. I know whatever it is, it'll be talked about. It'll be exciting, and it'll be a thrill ride for the WWE Universe, no matter what it is. And I'm thrilled. We're all thrilled to have him back here and to have him back, you know, cliche to say, but have him back home in WWE. It's where he belongs.
So here he is. He's out there and he's back. And yeah, we've all been caught off guard by it. Even the main event lads who found out just beforehand caught off guard by it. And what a moment that was.
What a moment. But what we find out is why WWE, after all of this, decided to re-sign him. And it's basically what we covered earlier in that, well, about 15 minutes ago on that, they're not going to stand in the way. But this is what Dave Meltzer
says. Dave Meltzer says, from what I understood, it was one of those things where it was a no, except if they felt the public demand was there. I actually wrote that in this week's issue, in the sense that if they believed the demand was there, they're not going to be an organization that fights the fans. That's pretty much it. Would Vince have done it in the same situation? Perhaps yes, perhaps no. That's essentially it. I'm intrigued to see, like, what was it that made, of the fans, that made Triple H go, yeah, okay, the fans want it.
Yeah.
Like, because CM Punk argue, chance. You could argue the CM Punk chance, but there was only mostly in Chicago
as well.
Yeah, the night before.
I think you know, you look at the fact that CM Punk has just left in a blaze of unglory from AEW, so he's very much being talked about. And yeah. And they don't. And WWE say that AEW aren't competition, and they say that a lot. But I think there's
the way
an element
WWE
of
acts very much so is.
Yeah, and if there's an opportunity to stick it to them, they will.
This feels like the biggest middle finger both CM Punk and WWE could give to AEW right now.
Yeah,
like,
if they go, we're going to take him on, and he's going to have a great run with
and
us.
He's going to behave,
and he's going to behave himself.
You know, it's crazy. But I wonder, on that 19th of November chat that they had, I wonder if it was agreed then. Oh, you come back, we'll sign the contract. Or was it a case of Friday night, CM Punk chants ring out around the Allstate Arena, and they go,
everything's sound.
Okay.
Come on in.
Come on in. We want you.
Come on in, the water's fine.
Because even in terms of Punk being backstage, the whole, like, one of the reasons that we find out is why they did it, Survivor Series. So they did consider delaying it to Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. But they were thinking by then it's good to get out that Punk's coming back, but if we did it at Royal Rumble. So one of the reasons they decided to do with Survivor Series was because it's so thingy, but also because Punk, you know, he takes him 20 minutes to get to the venue from his house.
Yeah.
So he probably left it,
during the War Games match.
Yeah, he probably thought, better get in the car now.
Yeah. He's watching at home going, oh, right, it's time to go. Fuck, shit.
Far less chance of being rumbled.
He goes, time to go.
It's clobbering time.
Yeah. Imagine if you lived across the road
Larry's
from CM Punk.
Got his
and
cast
you,
on.
You could. Larry with his little cast on. But father, stay. You told them you'd stay. Father. Imagine living across the road from CM Punk, little curtain twitching going, he's off. He's leaving. He's on his way. Where's he heading? He's heading east towards the arena. Call Dave Meltzer.
Come on, Batman. Get in the car. Chase after it.
To the Batmobile. It's like fucking Rear Window where they're looking at it's Jimmy Stewart sitting there.
It's like, hey, Steele's with him. Let's get to
fucking hell, stay away.
To say, someone posted like an image and it was like, putting the phone down, it was like to Impact when Ace Steel asks about the next house loop. So Ace Steel was sat clinging onto the back of the car. Take me with you.
So this all happens, and obviously this is a very closely guarded secret, and the moment the Survivor Series goes off air, the fallout of it is seen. It immediately starts kicking off. Because there is an element of this where if you're certain members of the roster, you're going to feel a little bit burned by this.
A little bit miffed.
You're a bit miffed by this, which I think we get into now.
Yes, why not?
Let's do it.
So immediately after Savarius goes to the art, he's waving at Randy. Randy's waving at him. They're all having such a lovely time.
It's all lovely.
But just outside of the ring, the world heavyweight champion Seth Rollins is going, in one word, he's going absolutely, well, two words actually, he's going absolutely acker.
He's going acker.
There he is. He's there. He's going, fuck you, you little bastard, and all this sort of stuff.
He's saying the fuck words.
He's giving him the middle finger.
Yeah, he was like, he better not be fucking there when I get fucking back because I'm going to fucking knock him out. Yeah. And yeah. He's getting held back.
You've got Michael Cole going, come on, man, just calm down.
By here. Michael Cole.
Corey Graves going, how are you? Calm down. And Drew McIntyre at this point, he's gone. He's out of there straight away. He's selling.
Drew was gone sort of at the end of the War Games.
Yeah, like he's straight out of there. He goes back. What we find out is Drew storms out of the arena. So he goes in, goes to the locker room, grabs his hoodie, shoves it on, slams the door, and he's away. Surely to Mindy's Bakery. But he was straight out of there. And what we come to find out, because the Seth Rollins thing then continues when they all go backstage. You've got Triple H and get him where he's going. I'm looking for Punk. He's trying to find him.
Yeah.
Punk's like, what the fuck are you doing? And Triple H is basically going, come on, Seth, calm down. Calm down. Have a biscuit.
Have a biscuit.
Have Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry. Yeah. Sponsored by Snickers.
Have a cup of tea. And then it gets all calmed out. What we find out was that Seth Rollins was being a very worky boy.
Yeah.
He's got a rumored match. Well, we'll get to it now, I suppose. He's rumored for a match with Chick Magnet at the Royal Rumble for the World Heavyweight Championship. He's not the Chick Magnet.
He was the Chick Magnet.
Not anymore. He's not.
Not anymore.
But there was. Obviously, there's a long-standing bit of business between those two. Seth Rollins in the summer, I think it was, again, Nick Houseman, once again, at the center of the fucking universe. I think it was Nick Houseman.
It was Nick Houseman, yeah.
Where Seth Rollins outright told CM Punk, do not come back, you cancer.
Why is there a sunglasses and a cowboy hat on?
Yeah.
But he then says, you know what, I don't like seeing bad things about Punk, but he just doesn't like him. Drew McIntyre, I believe, said some stuff in the past, but it was sort of just... I think he just sort of went, if they bring it back, it's business.
Yeah, Drew, whenever was asked about CM Punk, always talked about it being like, you know, it's a business and you do what's right for the business. He never really made any comments pro or anti-Punk.
Yeah.
But his actions kind of suggested that he wasn't a fan.
Yeah, so what we find out was that Drew McIntyre is... Part of the reason he storms out is because of the CM Punk situation, but there are broader things going on. So at this point, as of the time of recording, Drew McIntyre has not signed a new deal. It's up around WrestleMania. We don't know whether it's before or after, but it's around the showcase of the Immortals. What he said is that he's quite willing to basically let his contract expire and take a break from the industry. His wife's sister died in the past year. Mm-hmm. He, part of it as well was he hasn't been back to Scotland for like a sort of like prolonged period, basically since he went back to WWE. So it sounds like in terms of Drew McIntyre's personal life, he's sort of probably ready for a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like when your glass is too full, basically, CM Punk's sort of been the thing that's maybe tipped him over the edge. He's just gone, fuck this. I'm going home.
The thing I've said about it...
But he comes back 2 years later. He's fine.
Yeah, so he's fine. But obviously a little bit in the moment, probably quite annoyed. And if that is the case, I kind of get it. Because Drew proved during the pandemic, like he was the guy that put the company on his back and carried them through a really difficult time. And he's been frustrated due to like a lack of creative ideas and a lack of an offer coming through. But through all of that, like he's the guy they put out in press junkets and in media scrums. Like he's a very much a company guy.
I mean, you've interviewed him how many times?
About four times now. And Drew's just the ultimate company guy. Like he toes the line. He says the right things. He's an excellent ambassador for WWE. He's probably the finest ambassador they've got. And so for this to happen, and this is speculation on my part for all it's worth, to be that guy, to be trusted with like the lead in the company in this way, and then for this big secret to come back, and you feel like, well, why wouldn't they trust me with it?
Yeah,
like to feel like they didn't trust me to clue me in until the last minute.
Yeah,
and if you've got a lot of other things going on at the time, like you say, it's a straw that broke the camel's back with Drew, and I think probably frustrated with the fact that a lot of other things, and being told, oh, we've kept this big secret from you, probably feels a bit pissed off about that. So probably thought, you know, I'm gonna take a walk, let off some steam, because if I stay, I'll probably do something I regret. So I'm just gonna get me stuff, and I'm gonna go.
Also, on that sort of similar note, in a sense of, he's not got a new contract lined up. And it's like, well, where is his place in the card at the moment with creative? And then CM Punk comes in, and undoubtedly that makes people think, well, CM Punk is obviously, CM Punk's not going to be a mid-carder.
No.
He's going to be viewed as a top guy. And maybe, where does that place him in comparison to Drew McIntyre? Where does the company rank him if they've just paid for CM Punk to come in? Again, it's more that trust thing. It's like, well, would they not trust Drew in that spot? But again, speculation. I'm intrigued to see if Drew signs a new contract. I think he will, but it's up in the air right now.
Yeah.
But he was indeed back the following night at the house show in Illinois, which I think we'll get to shortly.
And then it was on Raw as well, where it's basically that McIntyre, by this point, is fine. He's just happy again. Yeah. So it sounds like he's lost his temper. I thought, I need to get out of here. Gone.
Yeah, but he's been something in the match that just...
Yeah,
also
we don't know.
Ticked him off. Maybe there was something that an incident in there. But also to note that him storming out of the actual arena in front of the audience was cued by a cameraman. So
it was a backstage, but that was more interesting.
Correct. So the bit that he stormed out of the ringside area, there's a cameraman filming the stuff in the ring, and you see him usher Drew like, oh, that's your cue to go. You see him storm up the ramp, and then another cameraman at the top of the ramp films him the whole way through the back. Makes me think that there is more workiness in the Drew thing than is being let on.
I'm worried that we get to this point where the backstage area is being worked, because that's kind of that's part of the downfall of WCW.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? When like everybody was sort of playing characters to the boys in the back.
Are they playing characters, or have they gone, like, in again, speculation, has Seth Rollins gone to the back, been absolutely fine, but they've gone, let's say he came back storming, looking for Punk.
Very likely.
Maybe Drew went to the back, got out of there as quick as possible because he knew the traffic was going to be a shite-mare. Right, hoodie on, I want to get out here before people stop and try and take photos, get out there before Punk.
But why would you slam the door?
But what I'm saying is, what if he didn't?
Don't know your own strength.
Why did you sort of leak that he slammed
and they've
the door?
Gone, people have gone, right, we've got a chance to work people. He slammed the door and was angry.
It's a dangerous game, though.
It is, but I wouldn't put it past them. Because they're working with Seth Rollins, true feelings.
That's true.
Just intrigued to see where it goes.
It's a shooty worky time that we're entering.
Work themselves in a shoot.
And speaking of shooty worky time, so we get to the reaction, which is, I've described it as a bit of a clusterfuck. the views on Punk's return are all over the place. In the hours after while I'm working until 7 a.m. If I remind you, it is that Fightful Select, they report there are numerous talents on the roster in general upset with Punk's return. Others, meanwhile, are excited, curious, and experienced about every emotion under the sun. So that means at least one of them was turned on by Punk's return.
Aroused. Is that the same one that kissed him on the mouth?
He did say that, yeah.
At least a couple of people were happy, and some old friends greeted Punk upon him returning backstage. I think we've since found out that was Kofi Kingston and Bayley.
Yes, yes, we have.
So yes, I shall continue.
Please do.
So the nature of Punk's return is that, but as we've discussed there at length, that it may have a long-term impact on relations between Triple H and the roster, because of course, as mentioned, talent weren't told until the very, very, very last minute that Punk was going to be there, and that was only the talent in the match. But one top talent, Tone Fightful, that they understood the surprise aspect of the situation, but felt like Triple H could lose some trust and won many people that he worked to build it with.
Yeah, and I think that might be a bit of an issue going forward. The big ramification of that is Triple H keeping it so tight-knit that this major thing was happening and keeping it away from the entire roster. And it might, you know, once that's happened once, what's to stop it happening again?
Yeah.
You know, if this is the way to beat the dirt sheets by doing that, you're doing it at the risk of alienating the people who work there.
I agree with that, but is there anything as big as this? I put a graphic up on social media just the other day being like, what never say never moments are left in wrestling. I think Punk return at WWE was the last big one.
Sting Undertaker.
Okay. Sting Undertaker.
Year of our Lord 2024.
Chris Benoit returning. I think, like, what this is the one that you need to... If you wanted to keep it a surprise, the last big surprise in wrestling, you don't tell people.
Yeah,
I think
that's
Triple
true.
H has built enough trust at this point to be like, let me have this one.
But if you keep the big lies, the little lies follow.
It's true. That is true. I think it was worth it for that moment, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If we'd found out like 3 hours before
It would have been a bit...
Survivor Series. Oh, he's backstage. Oh, well, that's... You've ruined the moment.
There was something quite nice.
We certainly made more money the way it came about.
We certainly did. And there is also something quite nice about being surprised.
Yeah.
Again, because our job is just to metaphorically rifle through the bins of wrestlers and tell you all the stuff that's happening. So it was nice to be wrong on something. Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'd rather be happy than right. And there's a lot of conversation online with people calling out people like Sean Ross Sapp and Wrestle Purist going, ah, you were wrong. Ah, you're wrong. You shit, you crap, you're wrong. Like, does it matter? Something really amazing happened. If the overriding thing for you when you see CM Punk come back is shouting at wrestling reporters about how wrong they were, then maybe you're not really watching wrestling for the right reasons. Maybe.
Especially when we all found out very quickly why everybody was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the fact that we were all caught out. So I messaged somebody saying, oh, I bet you're really annoyed, aren't you? I was like, no, this is great. Punk's back doing something really interesting with WWE and none of us saw it coming. How exciting to be a wrestling fan.
And he's not in a secondary promotion. No, I'm just kidding. Enjoy it.
No way to speak of New Japan. there's something nice about that. I really love the fact that we were all caught with our trousers down about it. I'm like, brilliant. Wrestling doesn't do that anymore because of the nature of what we do. It's great.
It's cool. Very, very, very cool moment.
Very cool moment. But anyway, so that happens. And then off we go. We move forwards to Monday Night Raw. But obviously, there's a lot of conversation that still occurs around it. And with CM Punk back, the reputation that he made for himself in AEW is still very much there, isn't it?
Oh, yes. If we want to go with that reputation, is that he beats up his colleagues.
Yes.
And his boss.
and tries to beat up his boss.
Make them fear for his life.
Yes. Very scared he was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But what we do find out was that talent, they speak to, they've either spoken to or going to speak with WWE higher-ups to seek assurances about Punk. What we've since found out is that Punk has a behaviour clause in his contract, or was believed to have a behaviour clause in his contract. But some in WWE were so angry about Punk's return, they said they'd quit. But literally, this happens all the time. AEW talent said the same thing when he went back in June of this year, that they would quit if he came back. And they never actually quit. The only person that ever followed through was Eric Young, who quit when Vince was back in creative.
He's the only one that went, I don't want to be back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I guess it's loose threats of being like, who do you value more? And then you're not going to quit your job if you disagree with a colleague, really, realistically.
Unless that colleague tries to fight you.
I mean, there is that as well.
We fight all the time.
But he hasn't tried to fight anybody in WWE.
That's true. Yes.
Yet.
Not yet. And Dr. Chris Amann in 2014.
But this is basically what we have. So this is sort of where we come into Raw. CM Punk, it's like CM Punk's back. He's got his 2014 graphics because I haven't made new ones yet, as we've covered.
Mm-hmm.
It's all bubbling along. Raw happens.
So we know that Raw had plans in place.
Yes.
But they were scrapped. Well, so at least they were reworked by the writers.
To fit in Punk.
Because you've got to get a Punk promo in there.
And of course, he closes out Raw. He comes in and goes, hell has indeed frozen over. Or no, it looks like hell has frozen over. He then basically just cuts a return promo.
And lately, I've been feeling a little bit more like myself ever since Saturday, which was a career highlight for me. I've been trying to come up with the words and the language to explain to all of you exactly how I feel. And I've come to two words, and I'm afraid to say them, honestly. And it's not because they're not true. It's because I'm a little bit scared of how true they actually are. And it's a little bit corny, and it's a little bit cheesy, and it's not going to sound like CM Punk. But I've changed. And once upon a time, an American dream taught me that as long as you speak from the heart, you cannot go wrong, because it is the truth, and this is the truth. I'm home.
I'm home.
I'm home. What do we think of that?
Now, I mean, so some of the content from it, so he comes out and indeed says hell has frozen over, makes a joke about him being a Blackhawks fan in the Predators barn. He then says, you know, I've been trying to find the words as I walked out, and it sounds corny, but in 10 years I've changed, and it feels weird to say it, but I'm home. Big reaction for that. Weird mixed reaction for when he said I changed.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, as we've covered at length, has he changed?
Yeah, exactly.
Triple H's been like, and then the press conference, like, you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. Trips, it's 2 months ago.
Yeah. I'm worried about him being the same person from 2 months ago rather than 10 years ago. Yeah.
And then it was also, in reality, it was sort of like, WWE hasn't changed. I mean, WWE has changed a lot.
It's changed a lot, yeah.
But, like, had it changed to the full extent of that 2014 CM Punk would then view WWE as his home again. Maybe not, but it's been a long time.
Is that, yeah, AEW restarted his love for professional wrestling, but obviously there was a lot of issues with him in AEW. Yeah. Perhaps it was, he really actually missed WWE's professional wrestling in terms of, he's the whole, as much as the company in AEW Collision was resting on him, he was looked at as the locker room leader. Maybe that's what he wanted in WWE, but he couldn't quite handle in AEW.
Because what we sort of found out as well is that CM Punk essentially thought he was bigger than AEW at the end of it. While in WWE, that's not the same case. He will look at CM Punk and think, I'm back. Look at CM Punk. He'll look at WWE and think, I'm back in the big leagues. As opposed to, I'm the star of this company. Well, he did say at the start, it's like, I want to bring up AEW. But essentially, he's fell out of love with it by, I mean, this point especially.
Yeah, so he goes on to say that he returned and it was all hugs and kisses on the mouth and everyone's really happy to see him. Well, almost everybody.
And they were like, oh, here we go.
He says that there's some people who are afraid that now I'm back, the bar has been raised, and you know, there's only one that can call himself the best in the world on this mic, in this ring, even at commentary, and his name is CM Punk. It was about 6 minutes. I think a lot of people had high ambition that this was going to be like an earth-scorching, a Tony Khan-slaying promo. Yeah. But what it really was a very sort of seemingly generic place setter up until at the end of which, as his music plays, he looks into the camera and says, I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money.
With a weird thing with his tongue, where he stuck his tongue out halfway through money. I don't know how he said it. I feel like that promo, as much as it felt very muted and very, I guess, on a leash, on a lead for CM Punk, I think it was very effective. I think this is a mask, and I think we're going to slowly see this mask crack and start to drop, and we saw it at the end with that line where I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money. That is in complete contradiction with the rest of the promo. Him being like, everyone's happy to see me. Oh, it's great to be back home. He's here to make money. He's not here because he loves... His character loves the WWE, you know? Like, I'm excited to see that mask slip. And Seth Rollins called him out earlier on the show as a hypocrite.
Yes.
And at the house show the night after Survivor Series, Seth Rollins on the mic addressed CM Punk chants and said, I'm not going to waste my breath on a guy who hasn't been here for 8 years and has tried to run us into the ground, and he doesn't. And then goes on to talk about the people that have worked hard to get them there. So Seth Rollins' thing is like, I'm not going to say his name.
He's the big company defender, basically, in this upcoming feud, isn't he, against the usurper, Invader?
Invader. It's going to be really interesting because Rollins will get booed. Like, he'll be the heel in that feud, but in
where he's defending WWE. And Stand up for WWE.
Oh, Christ.
That's what he's doing.
It's going to be a rehash, kind of Hangman versus Punk, but all of the things will be approved. I guarantee you'll be. We'll see. Seth Rollins will be like, I'm not defending this World Heavyweight Championship against CM Punk. I'm defending WWE from you. Yeah. I feel like we're going to get
workers' rights.
Any AEW nods will be done that way rather than him coming up in the promo and being like, fuck AEW, fuck the Young Bucks.
So this was a thing that, of course, when the day Punk is sacked, Young Bucks were at the end of Collision, their first appearance on Collision, and it had to do with victory lap.
Yeah.
And there were sort of people going, is Punk's little thing at the end a little...
Because Punk does a little victory lap of his own, doesn't he?
But apparently that wasn't a dig, it was just sort of... Basically, if Punk wanted to have a dig at the Young Bucks, he'd make you know it was a dig at the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
It, it was a sort of, it cut off halfway as he got from one corner to the other, but really he was just running, doing that.
It's getting the crowd going.
Yeah. Which is, I guess they cut off too early. They should have.
Yeah, basically. But bloody Kevin Dunn, eh?
Well, fortunately, this was a victim of circumstance because, as we discovered, the Randy Orton Dominic match went too long.
Yes.
So therefore, Punk's promo was cut by about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Not that anything would have really changed. Like they got all the salient points they wanted to make were hit. But I think it probably would have allowed it to have breathed a little bit more.
Yeah. I think it would have been, because, I mean, the promo was good, but it wasn't quite amazing. It could have been amazing with another, let's say, 5 minutes.
It's a good way to test him, though. On his first night back, Punk, your segment's cut. Your segment's cut for time. How are you going to react to that?
Apparently he was fine. Just went,
exactly. But it's a really good test, that one. Just being like, here you go. How you going to cope?
All they're going to do the next one, just flick him.
Yeah. Come on. Are we just trying to wind him up here?
Colt Cabana sat in the front row.
So they're eating pizza with Pac and Kevin Owens.
With his mother. Sharing a pizza.
Hot dogs in brine.
We'll get to this. How much hot dogs and brine do you think Triple H has had to give him?
At least three.
At least 3 gallons.
I reckon he's probably got some like real high-end sausages that he's given him instead.
He's got the Cumberland on the go.
Yeah, I don't give you hot dogs in brine. Here's some real high-end sausages.
Now, Punk, I've got you with the finest bratwurst.
Have them instead.
It's Christmas market season.
That's what he's feeling, yeah.
Tony Khan's like, I've got all these hot dogs in brine I boarded for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Like, I've got all this beer. Oh, sorry, I forgot you don't drink.
Here's a random thought that occurred in my brain, seeing Punk's return. So it really reminded me of Bray Wyatt's return.
Right.
In the sense that it was something that had been rumbled. Obviously, Bray Wyatt was a bit more...
It is a lot. It's basically the worst kept secret.
Yeah.
2.0.
But then it was like, end of the show, comes out, no commentary. We see him walk out. And then the following SmackDown, he cuts a promo that everyone goes is, okay. And then he just sort of poodles along and then peters out.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued to see how they do this because, as we said earlier, this is the sort of the dead zone for wrestling between now and the Rumble.
We've got 2 months.
You've got 2 months. Like, how are you going to... Obviously, it's CM Punk, so it won't be too difficult, but you've got to keep the vibe with Punk and Rollins for 2 months, but without over-egging the pudding. And without boring us with nothing.
It's why I'm thinking one way to keep it going is, I think, on this Christmas Day Raw. I mean, might do beforehand, but you have CM Punk wrestle.
He should wrestle.
Have him beat Ivar or something.
Give him his first match.
Because we've got Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight title against Jey Uso on the upcoming episode of Raw as we speak.
And the McIntyre thing is still ticking.
I think we're going to have quite a few people in the mix. Because CM Punk, in theory, needs to earn that shot.
Yeah.
So, like, have him wrestle.
Do you put him in a feud with Drew?
Well, Drew's teased that on Twitter. Mm. He put a picture of himself on from Raw the other night with the caption, "Look in my eyes, what do you see?" So he's kind of setting the stage for something.
Like your World Heavyweight title picture over the next 2 months, Drew, Jay, Rollins, and Punk.
Yeah,
and you've got them.
Sounds awful, doesn't it?
Absolutely terrible. These matches are going to be horrendous. That I think would tide us over. And you mentioned the Bray Wyatt thing. I think the thing that's kind of petered off there was how much creative control Bray had over his own stories. I'm intrigued to see how much, say, CM Punk has.
Yeah,
I imagine that he'll have some influence, but nowhere near as much as Bray Wyatt.
I think it'll be a bit sort of like all the top guys, really, where Cody's got influence and. Well, they've all sort of got input on their segments, but WWE's word is final.
It's interesting. Ibu of Wrestle Purist put out a thing about who is produced in their promos.
Okay.
The other day, and he was like, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, all your top guys, including like Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, all just have bullet points of, we need you to cover these things, but the rest, just do what you want. Which no one was down as a producer for Punk's segment.
So they went, just go out there.
So as much as it was a very tame promo, that was all Punk. That was Punk's decision to say those things according to Ibu. So, like, how much will he have going forward if, right, he's got a genuinely live mic and he's in a feud with Seth Rollins, who's maybe just said something that is going to test him?
As long as he doesn't say suckling succotash, he'll think he'll be all right.
So that was Punk in ring. Behind the scenes on Raw in Nashville, what was the What was the general vibe?
Yeah, so the range of reactions is suddenly a lot more positive than what they were at Survivor Series. Literally one day late, I'd noted that Punk was a lot more humble, and he wasn't sort of acting like the sheriff of AEW like he was at Collision, like the final months. It was sort of like, he comes and goes, hello, I'm CM Punk, aren't we all having a lovely time?
Aren't we having a lovely day?
He's trying to combat the reputation. That, so part of this as well is that he's trying to combat the reputation that he was the problem in AEW.
Yeah.
Trying to give the impression that a little bit that I'm a good guy.
Mm. I was hard done by.
Wade Keller of PW Torch writes.
He said, when I asked if people are skeptical of Punk being so friendly and nice at this point, one wrestler said yes. An estimated about half of the wrestlers are iffy about whether this is sustainable or who he actually is. Punk said on his Raw promo, he has changed. Paul Levesque said at the media press conference after Survivor Series that in 10 years, everybody changes, including himself.
PW Insider, meanwhile.
One source who spoke with him relayed to PW Insider there was no sign of the version of the person who'd hear was so miserable in AEW. A few people weren't thrilled Punk was back, noted that after talking with him, they felt better about Punk returning. So it was a good first night back in that regard.
And then the ultra positive ones from WrestleVotes who tweeted.
I'm told everything at Raw was good last night as far as the camaraderie backstage throughout the day in Nashville. One source went as far as say the energy was as high as it's been in years. Things look and sound like we're off to a great start.
So that is very much a range of opinions where, but overall I'd say 70% positive.
Yeah.
Overall, on the positivity to negativity scale.
Mm-hmm. You'll have the vocal critics often probably that we're aware of that are less enthused but are professionals.
Who will, it's their job at the end of the day. Yes.
But it does seem like it's a positive return for the most part.
But the main thing is not even necessarily now, but we'll cover it now, obviously. But the main thing is, where are we in 6 months? Yeah. Or where are we next year for Punkvember Part 5?
Or when he has his first disagreement over booking.
Yeah, like that's what we're all sort of waiting for. Like, as we were saying, what's going to happen when they keep flicking him?
Like Punk versus Rollins, let's say that happens at Rumble for the world title.
What if he loses?
Punk, you're losing. You're losing clean. Your first pay-per-view back.
Yeah. Or what happens if somebody makes a sly comment and then he gets injured?
Right.
Because they're not going to let... WWE won't be allowed to do the sort of shit that he got away with in AEW.
I think he knows that as well, though, right? Like, he knows he can't get away with it. Because it certainly seems like it. Not just because of this rumoured behavioural clause.
But you'd think he's... No, this is his last chance, isn't it, really?
There's nowhere else to go bar at TNA. He will then... If he thinks AEW... And no offence on TNA, but if he thinks AEW is not big league... I'm sure he thinks the same about TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Because they aren't as big as WWE. So, like, he probably knows he can't get away with half the shit he's done, and he'll be on his best behavior for the remainder of this multi-year contract.
Answers in terms of the question of AEW's reaction have been... We haven't really got a true indication.
Not from the roster yet, no.
Not certainly from the roster. I know Steve Herman from BBC WM had an interview with Tony Khan, where he just outright said, what do you reckon to CM Punk then? To which Tony Khan went, I'm not going to answer that. I can't answer that. But yeah. I'm looking forward to AEW coming to Wembley for All In next year and just moved the conversation along. John Moxley made a comment when he was asked in an interview by comicbook.com. They said, have you seen Punk's promo? He went, you don't know my opinion on that.
They've had heat in the past.
But he's like, you don't want to know my thoughts on that. I didn't watch it. You don't want to know my thoughts. It's like,
which is weird because it suggests that he both has thoughts on it and doesn't have thoughts on it.
Doesn't want to watch it, but has thoughts.
Yes.
Essentially, it'll be, I do not like CM Punk.
Yeah.
You can assume.
Basically, yeah.
The Tony Khan one was interesting because he said he legally couldn't talk about it.
So, yeah.
So that suggests he's been NDA City.
Basically, NDA City is population Tony Khan. Yeah.
And CM Punk in the Elite, except Hangman Page. Mm. Well, Hangman Page, he had a little tickle, didn't he? Because in the passage of the karma thing, and he put another tweet out. I can't remember what he wrote, but it was something sort of having a little cheeky. It could be taken as a little cheeky dig.
It's weird because Hangman Page is one that is sort of traditionally
his Instagram or stories or
sort
something.
Sort of kept himself to himself and not really.
He had a photo of himself and he had the song NDA playing, which is by Billie Eilish.
Right.
So he had that playing over an image of himself.
So that was a little cheeky wink-wink.
They can't say anything, can they? Yeah. Like, Punk cannot say anything about AEW. AEW probably can't say anything about him.
But one thing that's also come from, I think, Fightful Select as well, they said that it's not just a case of, obviously, they can't talk about it, but also Punk doesn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah, Punk's moving on.
Really keen just to move on from it all and not dredge it up any further.
It sounds like...
I kind of get.
It sounds like Tony Khan's the same. So, of course, as we've covered extensively on Punk Vembers, these two guys were good friends to the point where Tony Khan let Punk have far too much power and it all blew up in his face in the end.
Yeah.
But in terms of on this AEW side, this collision talk at the same time, Tony Khan will have seen the return, but the impression is that he just didn't really, he couldn't care less. Like, he was more concerned about that privately was that he was losing Katsuyori Shibata. He's got to go back to Japan. For an extended period, so he dropped the Ring of Honor Pure title to Wheeler Yuta.
Wheeler Yuta's first singles win on AEW TV, apparently.
Yeah, madness, really. Madness.
But yeah, his second time as Ring of Honor Pure champion.
Because he won it on
Ring of Honor, though, didn't he?
Yes.
But on AEW.
That's his first win.
First win. There was a CM Punk reference on AEW, though.
On Collision, yeah. Malakai Black, it was either, he either just didn't care.
I think it's that, yep.
Because he came out and said, he mentioned CM Punk, then he calls Claudio Castagnoli Cesaro.
Yeah.
He went, oh.
I think he might be one of those people that...
The alleged AEW talents that thinks they're too big for AEW and want out.
Want back to the WWE.
Because he did request his release last year, and Tony Khan went, I've signed it to a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
You're going nowhere.
You're stuck here.
MJF referenced Punk on Dynamite on Wednesday, where he mentioned him in passing when he talked about some of the names that he'd beaten during his run as AEW champion, and also made a point to say, which is funny coming from MJF after everything that's been sort of spun about him, when he said, like, I'm not just here for the money. I'm here to build this company. It's like, well, isn't the whole thing being you being, Tony, pay me some money and I'll stay.
Yeah.
I think they've kind of given up on that now a little bit.
Yeah, they've dropped that.
Everyone just knows he's re-signed.
He's re-signed and there's the looming injury on him that it's like that could ruin the entire program for that story going in January if he's injured legitimately and can't be on TV. No one's going to hire an injured wrestler.
Do you think he's Brian Pillman? Yeah. 1996.
But essentially in AEW, though, in terms of the viewpoints that we do have, so it was PW Torch, Wade Keller, he cited one AEW wrestler who did not miss Punk, stating their belief is he'll have a smoother ride in AEW, partly because they believe WWE has better leadership on every level as compared to AEW. But it was said the locker room morale since Punk is gone is better.
Right. And that's good for AEW.
Yeah.
It was, I had a chat with Claudio Castagnoli this week, which you'll hear soon if you haven't heard it already. And I did ask him about like how the AEW locker room rebounds during sort of the rough times.
Yeah.
Because they've been so much they've celebrated, but also they've seen injuries causing, you know, massive changes to script, to stories, and you've seen big name talents leave. Like, how does the AEW locker room rally? And Claudio's very much a case of like, you know, it gets us riled up. You know, I think they quite like being the underdogs in that guard, and they've got the depth of talent that if something was to happen, then there's enough people that want to step up and really give it some. And I think that comes through when you watch their pay-per-views with AEW.
Oh, the pay-per-views are great.
The pay-per-views are long, but my God, they are just full of phenomenal wrestling matches. Mm-hmm. And it's the one thing that AEW will always do so much better than so many others, just have excellent wrestling matches.
Yeah.
There's so many other issues with the company, but in terms of if you want a wrestling company, then they're your boys, but just, you know, there's a lot of other places they could certainly improve on.
What we're going to do though is we're going to go back to where it all began. AEW, because as we've covered extensively in part 3, CM Punk was the sheriff of AEW Collision, and his stint there is still having reverberations today. So QT Marshall announced this week he's resigning from AEW. He's going to be gone at the end of the year. This is the man who was Tony Khan's right-hand man for an extensive period in AEW. Sort of lost power, as it turns out, after Cody Rhodes said, see you later. And it's been dwindling ever since. There are other reasons, but what we found out is that QT Marshall is another AEW talent that CM Punk banned from Killing. We can add him to the list. That includes Ryan Nemeth, Christopher Daniels, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy.
Christopher Daniels.
Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana.
That was an obvious one.
Obvious one, yeah.
There's the list. Hangman Page after CM Punk got angry. Yeah. And they went, oh, don't come, Hangman.
Jack Perry.
Don't want to set him off. Yeah, Jack, fucking Jack Perry. So what we find out is that QT Marshall in the summer of 2020 was on Collision for a little bit doing QTV segments of Powerhouse Hobbs. CM Punk looked at this and went, that's rubbish.
I mean, he's right. Yeah.
But he didn't think it was a productive part of Powerhouse Hobbs' presentation. But what causes the issues here, as we have covered, Tony Khan was very protective of CM Punk. To the point where he'd be like, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk backstage. Very weird relationship.
It is weird, isn't it?
But to the point where QT Marshall fully well knows that CM Punk has banned him from Collision. He just knows. But Tony Khan's like, no, I've decided to take you off Collision. It's me. He takes the fall, Tony Khan. And QT's like, I just don't believe you. And he's just like, no, it was me, brother. And then this literally causes a fracture in their relationship. Issues stemming from a CM Punk decision.
Because he's so adamant that he wants to protect CM Punk and nurture CM Punk that he'll take the heat. And I guess there's something in the idea that with the boss, the buck always stops with you.
But this is like, the sixth time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where you maybe just have to go, am I protecting this guy for the right reasons here?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it just feels like, you know, he's just being a bit of a dick here. Is it worth all this? And obviously, as it turns out, it just, as you say, it blows up in Tony Khan's face. But QT Marshall also cited like the changing direction of AEW television becoming more sort of New Japan facing as a reason behind it as well. And QT as well wants to be a star in his own right, we hear. And I think, and there's a few tweets that went out about this, and I think they're solid. When it's like, if you think that QT Marshall was just like a low card jobber act and there's no real loss, then you really don't get what he was about. Like, QT Marshall was a really key part behind the scenes of AEW.
He was the right-hand man.
The right-hand man of Tony Khan for a long time. He was a major part in talent coming and going to the company. He's written like 500 odd episodes of Dynamite. Like, he's done so much behind the scenes. He's not just lol QT Marshall. He's done so much more, but he wants to do more as well. And I think he realized with all this stuff that happened with Punk that maybe a lot of the goodwill he's put into the company may not ever be reciprocated in the way that he wants it to.
Because that was the thing, it was that AWC QT Marshall's all these things behind the scene into sort of like a guy you can chuck out on TV on Rampage, you can have a good 10-minute match. That's it. QT Marshall sees himself as he wants to become a wrestling star, which isn't going to happen in AEW.
It might happen in AAA.
I don't think it's going to happen anyway. It's not going to happen in WWE, I don't think. I'd be very, very surprised.
It depends how much pull Cody Rhodes has behind the scenes, but I don't think he'll be a wrestling star in WWE. And we've seen other examples of it, but QT Marshall has not, apart from AEW, not made a big name for himself in the wrestling industry. He's now 38. If he comes into WWE, they'd probably put him through NXT. They'd probably get him working there for a few years before he comes up to the main roster. It worked for LA Knight, but QT Marshall is not LA Knight.
I think LA Knight was an exception to the rule.
I think
if WWE have any interest in QT Marshall, it's in a backstage role at 38.
That was the thing they were saying. They're saying the mindset him as a coach, but he doesn't want to do that because he's like, I've got my training school. He runs the Nightmare Factory with Cody.
With Cody. The other issue now is if he does go to WWE, CM Punk's there, who's kicked him off a show.
Yeah.
I kind of, on a note of the New Japan thing, that feels like a little bit of bullshit to me. Like, everyone's been saying that AEW is becoming more WWE-like, which makes me think he's going, let's say New Japan, because if I go to WWE now, I look a bit hypocritical.
Yeah.
I don't want to work for AEW. The direction's becoming too WWE-like, signed with WWE. Feels a bit, yeah.
I noticed the other day that Ricky Starks had put something out about CM Punk.
Yes, yeah, so there is sort of like this group in AEW that are close with Punk. Mm. It's like Ricky Starks, FTR, of course. All the House of Black,
yeah,
some other people. But Ricky Starks, like, he reacted to it positively. So would it shock me if a lot of people make the jump now next year, especially when what we've heard is WWE starting to throw money about, and AEW looks like having this new TV deal and pay-per-view deal on the way. It's going to be a lot of money floating around in 2024. Mm-hmm.
It's probably very reassuring for talent, though. You look at Cody Rhodes, he kept the same look in the same package. It was Cody Rhodes from AEW. You look at Jade Cargill. What we've seen of her, it's Jade Cargill. This is the person we saw in AEW. We've not seen her too much, but that looks like what they're bringing. They've bought that product. They've not bought someone to mold into their own shape.
Yeah, like Ricky Starks would go to WWE and be Ricky Starks.
He wouldn't have a Lexus King situation where he comes in as someone else. Ricky Starks would be Ricky Starks. That's the product they're buying.
Although the Lexus King situation looks fair enough at the minute.
It's fair. That's fair. CM Punk, again, if he comes in, he gets treated...
Like
a chick magnet. I imagine a lot of them will start going, right, we need to get out this... The options are there, basically.
Like, yeah, because that was the thing with Cody, wasn't it? It was sort of, is he going to get the treatment that a lot of them get where they've got to do a wholesale change? It was like, no, we're signing Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare.
Yeah, and this feels, this whole thing with the two companies, this, as someone who missed the whole period of 1996 to 2001, because I was one, not born, and then two, just a little baby, I never got to experience Rick Rude turning up on Raw and then also on Nitro, or Lex Luger appearing on one and then also on Nitro. This feels massive that we're getting these talent switches of CM Punk's now in WWE. Oh, Drew McIntyre, if he doesn't sign a contract, could he show up in AEW? Who's going to walk on anyone's television show? It's massive. And I can't wait to see what happens in the future.
It's a very exciting time.
And where we'll end, though, is to end. All we hope is that CM Punk becomes a nice man, doesn't punch anybody, and is never given control of his own show ever again.
I don't know. I think he'd be a great GM of Saturday Morning Slam.
Mick Foley's been banned from the building. Yeah. So that concludes Punkvember. Admittedly, it's now Punkzember.
Yeah, but
let that go.
But we got there.
Well, we kind of joked about the idea of doing an epilogue where if/when Punk turns up at Survivor Series. But when we started recording Punkvember, we didn't think that was truly going to be a thing.
And the other thing that I think is this, I feel like we could keep going in a sense of what the fuck is going to happen in 6 months' time, as you mentioned.
Or like, what we could do, like a one-year review, be like, hey, what's it been like? Oh, he hasn't punished anybody. Let's talk about
shit
that.
Shit in someone's bag, though.
That's for Randy Tober.
That's all Little Pete. It's like he's had a fight with Undertaker because he sat backstage playing video games. Like, where's your knife?
Larry's sitting at home bitter with a torn ACL. Comes back and starts the fight.
Just because I'm too old for this shit.
I'm tired and I work with fucking puppies.
Is Larry still signed to AEW? Who knows?
We'll see apparently he's got some time that he has to do in AEW before his end of his contract.
Before he switches.
And A steals in TNA, isn't he?
He is indeed.
So they can't punch each other.
Unless their arms are extra long.
What is going on here?
Well, that concludes Punkvember. My thanks to Fraser Porter for joining us today. My thanks once again to Aidan Gibbons, who added another couple of thousand words to his 15,000 word dissertation.
Thank you.
On CM Punk. And I've been Tom Campbell. This has been quite the journey, with an ending that has caught us all off guard. But as Fraser rightly said, what an exciting time. What an exciting time to be in. He's at the Fraser Porter. He's at the Aidan Gibbons. I'm at Tom Campbell. Together, we're at Cultaholic. Behave yourself, CM Punk. We're fucking watching you. Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.